scene with F-16. We've got part two with Mark Pease coming up. Tune in. Lighten it up a bit, Matt.
Yep.
What's one of the funniest situations that's ever happened to you in a training or fight situation?
Man, there could be thousands of things. Well, hearing that one about them today, asking you got the training session, and old mates, I'm not saying hanging out, that sort of cuts me up a little bit, but
yeah.
I've had a strange one once before. I can't think of this guy's name. It was at the old gym at Mermaid Beach, and he went to throw a kick, and his leg got wrapped around one of the other boys' leg, dislocated his knee backwards. In other words, so his knee came right across, and everyone panicked because his kneecap was on the side of his leg. When I saw him, I panicked as well, and I just slapped it really, really hard, and it went straight back in. I was told later on that was the right thing to do, but it was also the wrong thing to do because he should have been under anesthetic. But it was sort of funny, but not funny, because everyone panicked, and as soon as I did, everyone goes, oh, he's right now. But he wasn't right, man. He wasn't right. You know, that's probably the most funniest, strangest ones I've ever come across. You know, we all come across, you know, strange things in the gyms and at training camps. There's those weird scenarios as well, but you know, it's just a great journey, man. I mean, you know, you've been in it as long as I, nearly as long as I have. It draws you in, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you describe a time when you felt like giving up and what kept you going? What kept you going during that time?
All right. Now, that one's a real good one because I'll tell you, it was a fight with Aaron Lee. Aaron Lee was fighting Gott. Aaron Lee was... It was at Paul Demacoli's show at Bean Lee. Aaron Lee was four rounds to the good, quite easy. And I said to him, end of the fourth round, I said, mate, you don't have to do anything. Stay away from him. He's going to have to try and bomb you out to win this fight. And Aaron stepped in and went straight to engage straight away. And I'm going, get back, back. And Gott's rolled an elbow, hit Aaron and dropped Aaron, just sprawled him out. And he looked at me, but I could see it. He was already gone. It was glass eyed. He got up and ate, and I looked at Nugget. Nuggets looked at me, and Nuggets looked up to Gott and goes, don't knock him, carry him. I thought, no. And I screamed out, no, knock him, knock him. And, you know, they could see it through. And then at the end of the fight, they give him the fight to Gott because, I mean, he should have won by knockout. And I walked out the back and I said, I'm done. I grabbed all my stuff. Didn't talk to anybody, didn't unwrap Aaron's hands, got in the car and drove home. And I thought, I'm done with the sport. I'd had enough, you know. And it took me probably a week to decide that I will go back because people needed me. You know, people call me, well, why in the gym? I said, mate, I'm done. I've had enough. That's it. People aren't going to listen to me. You know, as I said, even back then, that was 2002 or three, I think it was. It was hard times, man. Like it was, everyone had to go to Thailand to learn, you know, and what you learned, you brought back and stuff like that. And then you had your fighters then going as well and staying there. Like Aaron stayed there for 3 months or 4 months in there, you know, and learned all that sort of stuff. So it was hard, but that was the only time that I thought to myself, I want to give this sport away. If he's not listening to me, no one's going to listen to me. I'm done. So it took people like Danny and Jimmy and a couple others just talking to me, hey, come on, we need you, get back in the gym, you know, come on, we're here for you, bro, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I'm a little bit older than them, you know, it was a bit hard to sort of go, you know what? They're right. I can't let them down. I'm accountable for these boys, you know. They're my friends. They're my family. They're my community. Got to get back. So it took about a week for that to come back, but that was...
like so much time and like the passion that you've got for the sport and the time, you know, away from your family. Like everyone's got to work and, you know, we've got to run families. We've got to, you know, look after our own kids and, you know, time and money. And I know how you can feel like that, you know, when you're just like, yeah, nah, bugger it, eh?
Yeah, well, see, back then I had other businesses as well with the cash converters, you know. So I thought, well, you know, they're not going to listen to me. I might as well just put all my eggs into this basket. And then I'm lucky I didn't because in 2000, probably 10 years left, I decided to do it full time. And I was doing uni part time for my sports degree. And when I finished that was 2000. And to be honest, man, it just sort of grew from there. I call it blessed at times because, back in the golden era when you guys were around and that, like I had Pixie, Mulder, Danny, Brody Smith, Aaron Lee, Diamond Jim McLeod. So we had a good run, like you guys at Boonshi did as well, with and Nugget. So it was a really good golden era of Muay Thai. But I think after about 2013, when all the guys sort of dissipated and retired and whatever have you.
Yeah.
I think Muay Thai was in a bit of a lull because there was no real branding for the next generation because we concentrated so hard on the generation that were doing good. And it was sort of like, oh, yeah, you guys will be right. Just train with Coach Darren and that. And there was no real emphasis on building that person to the next level. So I think Muay Thai in itself, especially here, was probably flat till about 2018, a good 5-year period. Don't get me wrong, there was a couple of good people, but there was no real, whoa, he's a superstar. But now we're going through a bit of a purple patch. This is Muay Thai in general. Like we're getting invited to America for fights, Russia, England, doing seminars there as well in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So like we're flying really international. Like back in the days, like if you got a trip to Cairns or if you went to WA, if you flew over to WA to Perth, everyone would think, well, you guys must be really good. But now it's WA, so the guys have had 2, 3, 4 fights are getting flown across there. So the sport's uplifted and there's a lot more gyms around there and a lot more promotions, as you know. Like New Zealand's the same. I've watched you guys as well. So a lot of gyms opening up, a lot of old school gyms too, like Lolo and Jackals and all those guys. Yeah. So it's good to see, man. It's really good to see.
What's the best piece of life advice you've ever been given and why?
Okay. My grandfather, he was always very talented with his hands. He was good in business and that as well. But when he retired, he started running marathons. So he started running marathons around 75. And I think he ran them until he was about 82 or something. Like marathons, man. You know, like I don't do that stuff. And I remember asking him, we were walking along the beach at Cronulla in Sydney, that's where he lived then. And I said, oh, what made you just bark? He said, I'll tell you this for free. He said, the day you stop using it all, the day it all falls apart. And he died at 95 of a broken heart because his partner passed away 6 months earlier and just died. He just willed himself to die. But he was fit, had all his faculties, the whole thing always worked. He always did things with his hand. And it sticks here. Day you stop using it is the day it all falls apart. And I'm thinking, definitely right there. That's philosophy for my grandfather, my friend.
Yeah. As a trainer, what techniques and methods do you teach now that you didn't have like when you were fighting?
How many hours do you have? Okay. Prime example, you'll go to a lot of gyms. Say if you were in Thailand, you went to a gym called Luk Prabhat. Luk Prabhat are very strong related clinch gyms. Or if you go to somewhere like Fairtex, that says that they are more Muay Thai fighters. But I just look at a fight person and, you know, gauge them. Like, I'm not going to train somebody to be a big puncher if they're a tall, skinny fighter when you know that they can be step up knee. So I try to look at what they can do and then, you know, put a plan in place for everybody. Now, so getting back to your question on that is, things that I do now is things like footwork patterns. Now, footwork patterns are the same for a punching fighter to a kicking or a kneeing fighter, same sort of footwork patterns, but then it changes from there up. You know, I learned a lot of footwork patterns, and that's about 94 times, stuff that I still use today religiously. So when I was training as a fighter, I didn't have any of that stuff. As I said to you, man, like, you get in the pocket and you get belted and you try and cover up. And you think, hang on, there's got to be an easier way than this. You know? I'm watching boxers learn how to step off. I'm thinking, hang on. Start incorporating things like that. So I learned a lot of stuff, even today, with focus, footwork, and balance. Because you've got no focus, you'll have no balance. With no balance, you'll have no power. So those three things that are really, as soon as someone walks to my gym and starts, especially in the beginner classes, they learn how to walk properly. How to stand properly, how to balance properly, how to move, how to turn off, things that I didn't have, you know? Yep. So again, back to that question, man, everything, the knowledge that we've got today is completely different to what we had in the days when you guys were fighting. It was raw, man. But people say, which era do I prefer? I really enjoyed that era because people got in and actually fought.
Yeah.
It got, as soon as the bells went, it was hammer and tongs, you know, like you and what's his name? The Kiwi boy.
Rex. Now,
And Pixie and Pixie and Megan Clayton, all those sorts of guys. They just got in and fought. But nowadays, like if someone's getting hit hard, they've got to learn how to step off and be evasive and try and keep away. Just yeah. become a little, because not everybody's going to be able to stand in the pocket and punch on. As you know, a lot of guys don't like to get hit at all. And then you got to teach them a little bit more firmer stuff, like, you know, hit and move and be evasive. So all those skills now that we have on board, and I think most coaches will have those now, because not everyone, and not everyone's going to be that in pocket fighter at all. Yeah. I look at today with like Chad Collins, he's that in pocket fighter. He does not give you a chance to breathe. He stands on you. As soon as you're holding pads, if I move away, he pulls me back in line straight. So he's hitting the pads constantly for those minutes on the pad. Whereas someone like James Honey, he's more of a, because he's taller, he likes to stand back, hit and get out real, real quick. So he doesn't, you know, but he can still punch on, but two different styles of fighting. So yeah. I've had to understand how to work with James and how to work with Chad on completely different footwork pattern and movements. There's a lot, man. As I said, it's a knowledgeable book. I mean, you've probably got one as well. There's still today, man, like I can watch one of my fights and go, oh, that move looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Show me that again and I'll have a look at it. And because I record all everything in the gym, so I can go back and have a look at it myself, see how it worked and why.
Yeah.
You know, start breaking it down for myself. Can I use that? You know, can I use that for that fighter, or will it be better for that fighter? You know, so there's a lot of things, man. If you think you know it all, you shouldn't be coaching.
What do you think are the most common misconceptions about the life of a professional fighter that young people should be aware of?
Okay, well, as a Muay Thai fighter, a misconception is you're going to get paid a lot of money. It's false. In Muay Thai, you don't get paid a great deal at all. It's a very minimal. So look, Chad Collins is a 5-times world champion, and if people would get 10 times the amount of him boxing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the sport is not an overly high paid sport. So if you're in it to make money, don't get into it. If you're in it to make a legacy and to become the best fighter you possibly can be, then be in it. Because if you're there for money, you're not going to last too long at all. You're going to very much get pulled away from something else. So Chad's probably the highest paid fighter in Australia today. But 10 years ago or 12 years ago when Pixie and Aaron were fighting, Aaron was probably getting nearly as much as what Chad's getting now, back then. So even though there's a lot more promotions and gyms and better promotions, there's a lot more sparkles and all that sort of thing. It's more of a sports entertainment sort of thing now, you know?
Yeah.
As well, you know, with dancing girls and stuff like that. But the purses haven't gone up enough, I believe, you know?
Not enough
financial backing from other sponsors and so on.
Has anybody taken over Tarek's pass away? Has anyone else got any, like, Fox rights now?
Here's where the social media thing comes in. See, now it's all to do with live streaming. Now, because I'm still very, really good friends with Hammer and Mark Castellini. I can't think of how many tens of thousands of people used to watch the first initial, say, War on the Shore or Evolution on Fox Sport. But now they have other streaming services like Netflix and all that sort of stuff. So the promoter loses out a little bit. But I think the streaming side of things, especially in Australia, is still in its infancy, because you look at America or Japan, because we fought on Rise quite a bit with Chad and a couple of other boys. And, man, it's next level, man. Like, you go to a venue, there's 10,000 people in the venue, you say. And Russia was the same. And they can stream it. So whereas here, we're a little bit behind, man. Definitely a little bit behind that.
I think you mentioned it before, Mark, about your accident is a real good one. But what's a difficult season that you've had in life, and how did you overcome it?
That's a difficult season. Okay, I'll say this year, my wife and I, we had Labrador dogs. We love dogs. Got cancer, liver, and we thought we were taking down to the vet to get just checked up because your stomach bloated and that. And they said, you got to come back and say goodbye to your dog. And so I had to get my two sons down there, and, you know, everyone broke down. And it was hard, I'm not going to lie, but this was really, really personal. And we're still getting through it, to be honest with you. And what we did, I think 2 days after it happened, Danny called us up and we went up there and had a quiet drink and barbecue and just talking about the times with the dogs and that. And to me, that was probably the biggest thing, because it sort of let us get all our emotions out and cry and hug and all that sort of stuff. And now I believe this old cliche of people saying, you know, like, dogs are family. So, like everybody, man, I've had hard times. That's why I really enjoyed talking to Sandy, because Sandy has always got the, you've got to learn to talk to people.
Talk through it,
not weak to speak. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, people look up to you, but you know, who do you look up to, and who do you talk to about stuff like this?
Yeah, the young people out there having a tough time at home and in life. What would you say to encourage them and give them hope?
Don't give up. Talk to somebody. Let people know how you're feeling. You know what I mean? You probably get them. We teach teenagers now. I can tell you for here and now, we train about in teenage class. We've got about 25 to 30 kids. I can tell you at least half those kids get bullied and their parents come, we put them into a martial art. We need to get them confidence and so forth, you know. Okay, but it's not going to stop the bully. He's doing Muay Thai now. We're not going to bully him anymore. So I reckon it's up to, you know, to them to, again, don't sit back and do nothing. It's not weak to speak. Talk to somebody and even tell the bullies, mate, face them front on, you know. Don't back down. I mean, you might, as silly as this might sound, you might cop a punch or one, but most of the bullies, as you know, they're like a pack mentality, and there's obviously something wrong in their childhoods or what's happening at their home. They might be bullied at home by their parents or bigger brothers or something, and they're just putting it out laying it to somebody else. I've got to tell them that don't be weak to speak. Speak up. You've got to speak up. You've got to let people know about this to cut all this stuff out.
If you weren't a fighter or a trainer, what other career or profession would you be doing?
Male model, I thought. I could model gloves. Look, man, I was always in business with cash converters and things like that. So I don't know. If I did this degree earlier in my life, like when I was in my early 20s and so forth, like that, I would have liked to have been a sporting psychologist. So I reckon that would have been, you know, now what I know from having a bit of a psychology or sporting psychology background with it, I could sort of help a little bit more with the kids and so forth, because I really, really thrive on that. I can watch a fighter now from, instead of me being assertive or aggressive in the corner, which some like, some don't, but me being able to tap into their little pocket and say, hang on, you've trained for this. We've worked hard. And I can watch somebody being down the corner to actually start uplifting and smile all in that 1 minute or 2 minute scenario for me to be able to do that to them. And then go back out and maybe not win, but perform better. Because to me, most fights aren't realistically about the results. We all like the result. Mine's about performances. If my fighter fights the best fight they possibly could and still lose, how can I be disappointed with them? And I've told them that, because you see them getting down. So, you know, being the coach, I'm accountable to help them and get through this. So I like doing that, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Anybody can hold pads. I'm not going to lie. I can train people to hold pads. But to be a really good coach, you've got to be able to get into somebody's mind, and so they actually fully trust you like you're their brother or their mother or father or whatever, you know. And once you've got that bond between the fighter athlete, man, it's pretty special. And it's a really good thing. I really enjoy it.
So you got Chad and others going over to Japan soon.
We've got Jagger Chan, who's just come back from England and Thailand. He was on the RWS tournament at 63.5. Or I've got James Honey fighting Kong Thailand, who's the WBC 72.5 world champion in a three-rounder. I've got Brittany Dollahire, a girl, fighting Amanda Russell. And then I've got Jesse Astle fighting. But on the same day in America, I have Jaden Enoid fighting on Karate Combat. It's very big. And I've got Chad and the Ape Man over there with the best super lightweights in the world. So it's busy.
Crazy. Mark, what training technique, you probably already answered this, but what training technique have you used from day one that you consider tried and tested? No successful fighter can go without.
Teep to the leg, teep to the stomach, teep to the face. It's the most underrated kick in Muay Thai, but it's a game changer. If you can do a good teep, especially if someone's coming, you can break the rhythm up by hitting on the leg, folding him, hitting him in the midsection, like Chad will teep the face under the chin. It's good to watch a teep.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. All right, Mark. Thank you for your time.
All right.
How can people find you and follow you online?
Well, we're on Instagram as Strikeforce Gym Australia. That's pretty easy to find that one. Pretty straightforward, mate.
Thank you, Mark.
Cheers, mate.
See you soon.
Thank you, buddy. Bye. See you, mate.